News, I'm Tommy McNeil. U.S. President Donald Trump Sunday assailed Congressman Justin Amash as a total lightweight after the Michigan lawmaker became the first Republican to call for Mr. Trump's impeachment. Amash, echoing numerous Democratic lawmakers, claimed that Mr. Trump engaged in impeachable conduct by attempting to obstruct a special counsel investigation into Russian meddling in the 2016 U.S. presidential election. Reuters correspondent Jason Albano.
U.S. Representative Justin Amash took to Twitter on Saturday, saying that special counsel Robert Mueller's report on the investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 election revealed that Trump, quote, engaged in specific actions and a pattern of behavior that meet the threshold for impeachment. Amash also said the report, quote, identifies multiple examples of conduct satisfying all the elements of obstruction of justice. The White House and the Department of Justice did not immediately respond to requests for comments about Amash's tweets.
Our attorney general ruled based on the information there was no obstruction. So you have no collusion, no obstruction.
While Trump has said that the report concluded there was no obstruction of justice, the report made no formal finding, leaving it to Congress to decide.
That's Reuters' Jason Albano reporting. Hundreds of demonstrators in the state of Alabama held marches on Sunday to protest the state's new abortion law, which makes performing an abortion a felony in nearly all cases, the most severe law of its kind in the United States. The demonstration took place 3 days after Governor Kay Ivey signed the bill into law, saying it reflects the deeply held belief of many Alabama residents that every life is a sacred gift. But demonstrators Sunday disagreed, carrying signs saying "My body, my choice," and "Abortion is health care." The law allows abortion only in cases where a mother's health is at stake and makes no exceptions for cases of rape or incest. This is VOA News. Iraqi security forces say that a rocket was fired Sunday into Baghdad's Green Zone, which houses government offices and embassies, 4 days after the United States evacuated staff from Iraq, citing security threats from Iran. Iraqi officials said the rocket did not cause any casualties. It was not immediately clear who was behind it. U.S. President Donald Trump tweeted about the incident after it took place, saying if Iran initiates conflict, there will be the official end of Iran. Meanwhile, Democrats in Congress are questioning the rise in tensions between Washington and Tehran. AP's Jackie Quinn.
Hawaii Congresswoman, war veteran and Democratic presidential candidate Tulsi Gabbard says she questions the White House announcement that Iran is posing a new threat to U.S. interests. Does she believe it?
I don't. You know, we heard conflicting stories coming from the British commander.
And she tells ABC's This Week.
Looks a lot like people in the Trump administration trying to create a pretext or an excuse for us to go to war.
Fellow war veteran and Republican Senator Tom Cotton tells NBC's Meet the Press.
The intensity and the frequency of this intelligence reporting is significantly heightened over the last 2 to 3 weeks. I don't have any doubts.
Sources say House Democrats have invited former CIA Director John Brennan to a Tuesday meeting to discuss the escalating situation with Iran. Jackie Quinn, Washington.
Australia's Prime Minister Scott Morrison had a surprise win in his bid for re-election Saturday. He told his supporters he has always believed in miracles. Reporting for VOA, Phil Mercer has more.
This is a remarkable result few people had expected. For months, opinion polls had indicated that Australians had grown tired of feuds within Scott Morrison's Conservative government. It's had three prime ministers since it was elected in 2013, but fought this campaign on its economic record. The prime minister had said the opposition wasn't fit to govern and couldn't manage money. He's celebrating his unexpected triumph with party loyalists and his wife and two daughters.
I have always believed in miracles. I'm standing with the three biggest miracles in my life here tonight. And tonight we've been delivered another one.
Voters appeared unnerved by the opposition's radical tax reform agenda and its big spending plans for health and education. Phil Mercer for VOA News. Sydney.
And you can find more at voanews.com. I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.
It is 3 hours Universal Time. Good morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Monday, May 20th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. Malawians vote tomorrow in presidential election, but there are allegations of an attempt to rig the vote.
The allegations being made by Mr. Chidima are laughable. They're laughable in the sense that there is no merit whatsoever.
Ngemin Kalilani is the spokesman for Malawian President Peter Mutharika. His spokesperson says Vice President Solos Chilima got his information from reliable sources. Gambia's president moves to purge his country's foreign service. At least 30 people are missing and feared dead from a boat accident in Uganda. And a former DRC information minister says he was arrested by his opponent in a governorship election.
According to General Awashango, he was instructed by the acting internal affairs minister to arrest me and to bring me to the police headquarters.
Lamba Mendes, information minister of the DRC. Rwanda takes Western diplomats on a tour of its volatile Western and Northern regions. And we'll tell you why Sudanese are criticizing the U.S. representative to Sudan. Those stories plus Samson O'Malley sports are coming up on Daybreak Africa. Malawians go to the polls tomorrow, Tuesday, in presidential election where President Peter Mutharika is seeking a second term. His main challengers are Vice President Solos Chilima, Minister of Health Atupule Muluzi, and Lazaro Chikwera. On Sunday, Vice President Chilima alleged that a former Zimbabwe Police Commissioner, Augustine Chihuri, was brought to Malawi to help President Mutharika win re-election. Speaking at the news conference, Chilima said General Chihuri was to train a parallel police force who will then pose as legitimate police officers and do heinous things during the election. Patricia Kaliati is the Secretary General of Chilima's United Transformation Movement Party. She says the Vice President got his information from a reliable source.
The Vice President of the state, he gave the information from reliable sources.
So he got his information from reliable sources? Madam, Mr. Chilima is the Vice President of Malawi. If he gets such information from reliable sources, don't you think it's good for him to discuss it with the President?
If there is no correlation with the President, where are going to discuss? If the President is fearing of unknown, where are they going to discuss? If they are not working together, when are they going to discuss that? My brother.
So is this Mr. Augustine Chihuri is already in the country, is that correct?
If the president is saying that he's missing in the country, it is up to you now to find out where he is as a reporter. And when he's coming to the country, we are supposed to know because he's a high-profile person from wherever he's coming from to the country. He's supposed to say, why is he visiting Malawi? If he's visiting his family, we're supposed to know that the suspect person is in Malawi visiting family, period. Or suspect in Malawi is visiting the president, period. But if he's coming to Malawi and people have seen him doing whatever, then that's why the president comes with leader and say that.
I spoke to a spokesperson for President Peter Mutharika, and the spokesperson told me that Vice President Chilima should not be believed because he has made similar comments before and there was no truth, and then come back later to retract them.
Whichever you want to believe, but you've spoken and you've heard it. If the office of the president is a very important office, then the office of the president should be announcing each and every business friend who's coming in Malawi. Because I'm not visiting the president in his capacity as a personal, in his personal capacity, but he's visiting the president as representing the Malawi nation. So Malawians are supposed to know. If each and every visiting person, we are able to know what's special with him that Malawians didn't know that he's visiting the country. And for what? And for which reason? If he wants to learn about other issues, then the nation is supposed to know. But if you see him with other fake policemen, maybe that's what comes out there. But the one Kalyan who says the spokesperson for the president, that is the responsibility to be refuting each and everything.
Madam, thank you for answering that.
Thanks so much, my brother.
Patricia Kaliati is the Secretary General of the Opposition United Transformation Movement Party of Malawi. She was speaking with me from the capital, Lilongwe. But Mgemi Kalilani, spokesperson for Malawian President Peter Mutharika, says the allegations by Vice President Solo Chelema that a former Zimbabwe police commissioner is in Malawi to rig the elections are laughable because the vice president is used to making unsubstantiated claims.
The allegations being made by Mr. Chelema are laughable. They're laughable in the sense that there is no merit whatsoever. But it's not new. I mean, he has been known to be making wild accusations, wild claims. That has been his way of doing the whole campaign. He has been making various accusations that have ended up to be literally wild talk. For interest's sake, whosoever gave him that information misled him. We may wish to check. We're also doing our own background check when we heard him making such a wild allegation. We were just, for interest's sake, we checked where Mr. Jihuri, the former commissioner of police in Zimbabwe, is. And I think our background check indicated that he is actually outside Africa. I think he left Zimbabwe at the time that the former president of Zimbabwe, President Mugabe, lost power. He left Zimbabwe at that point and fled to some country outside the African continent. So if Mr. Chelema had cared to do a little bit of background check after he was given that information, he should have realized that he's been told lies. So it doesn't come as a surprise to us, but it is literally laughable. Shouldn't be coming for someone who has been serving as a vice president. We expect something substantive from a person holding such an office.
So I'm just thinking, it must be very alarming to many Malawians to hear this. So is there a, say, example that this something like this might have happened before? Because the election is Tuesday, but we keep hearing about people coming to rig the election.
I don't think it has come as a surprise to many Malawians, like I indicated earlier on. I mean, this is how he's been conducting himself lately, making very wild statements, and a day or later he comes back to retract them. Or even when he's taken to task to justify something that he said at the area, he recants from it. That has been part of his character recently. So no one takes him seriously these days. I mean, you can check on the social media or elsewhere. You'll find he has been making a lot of wild accusations against the government, promising to spill beans, promising to make known secrets. And we are 2 days to an election, actually 48 hours to an election. Nothing or whatsoever he has been alleging.
Thank you, sir, for speaking with us.
Thank you so much. Anytime.
Mgemi Kalilani is the spokesperson for Malawian President Peter Mutharika. He was speaking with me from the capital, Lilongwe. Former Democratic Republic of Congo Information Minister Lambert Mende says he was arrested yesterday, Sunday, by police on the orders of his opponent in the governorship election of Sankuru Province. Mende says his opponent, Basio Olungo, who is also the interim interior minister, ordered General Awashango, head of the National Police Special Services, to arrest him.
What happened to me is that I was arrested this afternoon by policemen. I don't know why. According to General Awashango, he was instructed by the acting internal affairs minister to arrest me and to bring me to the police headquarters. Only when I arrived there, they received a call from the president's office to leave me free. When they arrested me, I was beaten by these policemen. That is why tomorrow I'm going to call this minister in the parliament and the internal affairs minister in the parliament to explain himself why he can arrest me without any reason, so that he can give explanation and the action being taken by the parliament, because I am a member of parliament.
Why would the interim minister of interior affairs, I'm assuming you're talking about Mr. Olungo, why would he want to order your arrest?
What I know is that Mr. Olungo is from my constituency. He was the candidate in the last legislative election like me, and he lost elections. He won elections, and this brought sort of, you know, difference between us. And it seems that he's trying to do all his best, you know, these last days in government to revenge sort of against me. That is what I can think. But let him explain himself before the parliament and before the justice, because I will bring him to court.
Did you say you won the governorship? Is that for Sankuru?
He made all his best to delay the elections of governorship in Sankuru. Every province have got their governors elected. Only Sankuru has not organized elections due to fake reports from Minister Olongo saying that there is insecurity in Sankuru. So he's considering me as an enemy, is fearing me to win these elections, I can assume.
You were the Minister of Information during the government of the former President Joseph Kabila, and you are still a member of parliament. What happened? What do you know about the new parliament and when there is going to be a prime minister?
According to information I was receiving this afternoon, President Joseph Kabila, who is leading the majority in the parliament, and the new president, Felix Tshisekedi, have come to an agreement, and we are going to have the name of the prime minister announced in a brief time.
Minister, thank you very much.
Okay, James.
Lamba Mende is a former information minister of the Democratic Republic of Congo. He was speaking with me from the capital, Kinshasa. Today is Monday, May 20th, and you're listening to Daybreak Africa. I'm the Voice of America. I'm James Botte in Washington. Daybreak Africa time, 16 minutes past the hour. Gambian President Adama Barrow has begun purging his country's foreign service. A good number of ambassadors believed to have been hired because of their connection to Usainu Dabo, the former foreign minister who later became vice president, have been fired. The foreign ministry has also informed dozens of other diplomats that their contracts with the government have expired with little hope of being renewed. Pandere Umbai reports.
A political fallout between President Adama Barrow and his former vice president, Usainu Dabo, a man Barrow had often referred to as his political godfather, has resulted into a major foreign service purging. This followed Barrow's declaration that any government worker who did not share his government's agenda would be shown the exit door. Speaking during one of his recent public rallies, Barrow, who self-styled himself as the Gambia's bus driver, had this to say.
If it's not a corner, I will let it run. In the world, 2019 world, either you are in or you are out.
He says the year 2019, it is all about one being in or out of his government. He warns that he wouldn't hesitate to drop off passengers from his boss who are bent on pursuing other agendas that are opposed to the government set agenda for the Gambia. Both Barrow and Dabo used to be in the same political party. Barrow had to resign from the United Democratic Party to lead a group of opposition parties in the 2016 elections, which propelled him into the presidency. Now the firing of Dabo and the UDP ministers from Barrow's cabinet had changed the political trajectory in Banjul. Sehu Shise is the media and communication officer at Gambia's foreign ministry.
What we can ascertain as of now is that five ambassadors representing the Gambia abroad will not be able to have their contracts renewed, and His Excellency Mr. Kemese Njame, Gambia's ambassador to the Republic of Turkey, Ms. Jena Ba, Gambia's ambassador to Russia, Dr. Siddharth Job, Gambia's ambassador to France, Abdoulaye Boyang, Gambia's ambassador to South Africa, and Faiz Cisse, Gambia's ambassador to China.
The UDP forms the majority in Barrow-led coalition government. The party has over 31 MPs in parliament, and it controls the mayoral offices in Banjul and the Kanifin municipality. The UDP also controls 7 out of the 8 administrative municipalities in the Gambia. But President Barrow recently told his supporters that without his presidency, there was no way that the UDP could have won the mayoral seats in Banjul and KMC. He also talked about past monetary support he had extended to the party. Communication officer Sefu Shishe says the move taken by the government not to renew the contracts of the affected foreign service personnel was not a witch hunt.
This is a move geared towards ensuring that the target set for the government in achieving economic diplomacy, increased foreign investment, and also increased tourism promotion, among other things, be attained. It's all geared towards ensuring efficiency in the delivery of foreign service.
Government spokesman Ibrahim G. Sankare tells VOA that the Gambian government has the prerogative to renew or not to renew the 2-year contracts that were signed by the diplomats. For VOA Daybreak Africa, this is Pandirim by reporting.
A number of Western diplomats in Rwanda have concluded a 3-day tour of the country's western and northern regions to see for themselves not only the beauty of the country, but also the security situation. Recently, France, Belgium, and Uganda issued travel warnings to their citizens after several attacks in western Rwanda. Eugene Uwimana has more from Kigali.
According to these members of the diplomatic corps in Rwanda, the three-day upcountry excursion was safe and fun. They visited several corners of the country they describe as beautiful and touristic. Jenny Ohursen is the Swedish ambassador to Rwanda.
It was a tough walk, but very beautiful. Well, it felt very safe, so we had a very good walk. We were lots of ambassadors chatting and having a good time.
Peter Vrooman, the U.S. ambassador to Rwanda, says the tour had good security. He also said he saw free movement of people.
Saw men and children and women, little kids, day and night. Nobody seems to be in a situation where they're afraid of being around at dark. So I think, in general, I think we had good security.
Dr. Richard Sezibera is Rwanda's Minister of Foreign Affairs and International Cooperation.
The ambassadors here who represent big countries, China, US, India, and so on. So once they understand Rwanda better, they are more able to communicate the reality of Rwanda to their countries, and this is important.
The tour was not mainly to see the beauty of tourist attractions of Rwanda's country, but perhaps to counter claims by rebel groups that they are at war with the Rwandan government in Nyungwe Forest in western Rwanda. In December last year, assailants from the FLN rebel group touched the three passenger cars, killing two and injuring eight. The group also took many civilians hostage. The December attack followed another by FDLR rebel groups in the Rwavu district and the deployment of soldiers in the Nyungwe Forest belt. News of these attacks prompted many countries, including France, Belgium, and Uganda, to issue travel warnings to their citizens, urging them to be much vigilant in Rwandan soil. Jean Wimana for VOA News, Kigali, Rwanda.
At least 30 people are missing and feared dead from a boat accident on Lake Albert in Uganda. Francis Mungerwa is a reporter with the Uganda Monitor newspaper. He says the boat was transporting soccer players and fans from one landing site to another.
The boat was carrying about 50 football fans and footballers who were going for that football match. So shortly after taking off from the landing site, the boat was hit by strong winds and capsized, leaving three people dead instantly. But there is an ongoing rescue effort to get those who could have survived. But so far, there are fears that more than 30 people are missing. Police working with the fishermen, they have so far recovered 12 people.
Francis, you said from the beginning that the boat was hit by strong winds. We know that there's a history in Uganda of these boat accidents. How likely that perhaps this accident was caused by overloading?
Yes, it is very likely that it was caused by three factors. One, it is overloading. A canoe boat, on average, carries about 20 people. But this very one, it was carrying about more than 50 people. Actually, by the time it capsized, the coxswain who was moving the boat had decided to return to the landing site and remove some of the passengers, because the accident happened about 300 meters from the landing site. Secondly, all the occupants of the boat did not have life-saving jackets, and this made expose them further to the risk when the boat capsized. And then some of the survivors say shortly after taking off, they realized that the boat was having a small hole that was allowing some water to enter, meaning that there was a combination of factors. Then there came the issue of the strong waves that hit the boat.
Francis Mungawa is a reporter with the Uganda Monitor newspaper. He was speaking with me from the capital, Kampala. The U.S. representative of Sudan, Stephen Kusis, attended an iftar meal to break the Ramadan fast with an alleged war criminal whose troops are accused of committing genocide. Jason Pantinkin reports.
Sudanese citizens are criticizing the American representative to their country, Chargé d'Affaires Stephen Kutsis, for dining Saturday with one of Sudan's most notorious warlords, Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo. Dagalo, known by his nickname Hemeti, is the commander of the feared Rapid Support Forces militia, which has been implicated in atrocities in Darfur and other areas. Hemeti was a commander of the Janjaweed militia, which is accused of committing genocide in Darfur more than a decade ago. Kotsis spoke to VOA about why he attended the event that was organized by Sultan Ahmed Ali Dinar.
That was Jason Pantinki reporting from Khartoum, Sudan. It's time now for Daybreak Africa Sports, and here is Samson O'Malley in Abuja, Nigeria. A very good Monday morning to you, Samson.
Good Monday morning to you, James. We begin the sports with results from the CAF Confederations Cup Final, where Kajofo Dolaba struck a stoppage time winner as SC Zamalek were defeated 1-0 by RS Bakani in the first leg of the Confederations Cup Final played at the Stade Municipal in Morocco late on Sunday. The Egyptian outfit had come into the game on a 9-game undefeated run, wherein they kept no less than 7 clean sheets, but were condemned to defeat at the death following a fine close-range shot from the Togo international. From North Africa to West Africa, where Nigeria's Super Falcons defeated host Cote d'Ivoire 6-5 on penalties to claim the 2019 WAFU Zone B Women's Tournament Cup title in Abidjan on Saturday. Both sides had gone into penalty shootout after the game ended 1-1 during regulation time. Ghana secured third place after beating Mali 8-7, also on penalties. A member of the Super Falcons squad, Ineabasi Umotong, believes the Falcons will do well at the 2019 World Cup in France.
The pressure is a privilege, and it just shows, you know, the high hopes that, you know, our fans and our nation have behind us, you know, so we'll do anything, everything to make them proud. So I believe this pressure is here, yes, but we're using it as a privilege to go and do our best to make everyone back home proud.
Staying with preparations for the 2019 FIFA World Cup, Cameroon national women's football team is in Madrid, Spain, where they will continue training ahead of the 8th edition of the FIFA Women's World Cup in France. The training camp in Spain will be the last phase of their preparations ahead of the World Cup. While in Spain, the Lionesses will play 4 friendly games. Away from women's football, Kenya Harambee Stars head coach Sebastian Migni has defended his selection after receiving criticism after he named a 30-man provisional squad for the 2019 CAF AFCON next month. Although Coach Migni believes the talk surrounding the selected players is not bad, he affirms that he has every right to make choices on who should feature for the Harambee Stars and who will not. The coach has also set targets for himself when the summer AFCON gets underway next month.
Today we are 25th in the FIFA ranking for Africa, for African team. If we can be inside the best 16 team, it would be perfect for us. I'm sure we can do it, and I'm sure something good will happen.
In athletics news, Edwin Kimayo and Margaret Njuguna won the 42nd Cleveland Marathon, both first-time participants from Kenya on Sunday. Kimayo won the men's race in 2 hours, 22 minutes, 02 seconds, while Margaret Njuguna won the women's race in 2 hours, 45 minutes, 31 seconds. And that's it for Daybreak Africa Sports. I am Samson O'Malley in Abuja, Nigeria. It's back to you, James, in Washington.
Thank you, Samson. Have a good day. And briefly, before we leave you, a summary of Africa news. At least 16 people were injured in a blast targeting a bus near Egypt's Giza pyramids on Sunday. Security sources says officials said the bus was carrying 28 people, most of them South African tourists. That's it for this Monday, May 20th edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for starting your week with us. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, producer David Vandy, reporters Peter Clotty and Ricky Stryak, as well as sports editor Samson O'Malley, along with our engineer Jimmy Cook, I'm James Barton in Washington, wishing you in Africa a very good day.
Need a little straight talk? Want to make sense of the world around you? Ask a question. Hear what others have to say? If so, Voice of America has a variety of talk shows for you. Lifestyle, health, politics, youth, sports. We have it all. Tune into our discussion shows on the radio, TV, or the internet. They examine a wide variety of issues and world events not always covered by other media. VOA. Voice of America's news, talk, and music programs are now at the tip of your fingers. Find everything at www.voaafrica.com. Listen to VOA's program lineup live, anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com.